Get ready for truth bombs and guidance from conservative leaders and entrepreneurs, from God-fearing, freedom-loving, truth-telling, patriotic Americans. Welcome to Patriots with Grit. Now let's jump into today's episode with your host, Darren Ross.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Branson We Rake in America tour. We have a great guest today, Jeffrey Prather. I first heard Jeffrey speak about a year and a half ago at an event, and I've been on the hunt trying to find this guy to see if we can get him on our show as a guest. He has an unbelievable story, an unbelievable past. So, Jeffrey, tell our audience, tell our viewers a little bit about what you're doing and what you've done to help save America.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm a retired SOCOM soldier, former DIA intelligence officer, and ex-DEA special agent. Targeted by the deep state when I became a whistleblower, turned chaplain, leader, teacher, and truth teller. And so because of what happened to me, I can now tell people what's going on and what's happened to them.
So start off with the whistleblower piece about how they started targeting you.
So when I was serving with 7 Special Forces in Honduras and Nicaragua, I was involved with the Contras, and I saw the CIA start running cocaine and cash in Domino, Arkansas, and that eventually went into black neighborhoods. And then I switched over in 1990 to the DEA, graduating from the FBI Academy back then, because the DEA didn't have their own academy. So I saw both sides of what was happening of that covert operation. And that covert operation of cash, Contras, CIA, built the Clinton cartel of death, because it was off the books black money, black ops funding for them. And so I'm not that big of a fan of Ollie North, like a lot of people,
okay,
because what we were doing was totally legitimate and legal. And of course, what he did was not. So fast forward to what's happening to now in our country, and I can recognize when I see covert operations happening. January 6th was clearly a covert operation. There were multiple covert teams operating. You can tell them, if you know what to look for, hats turned around backwards, earpieces, stuff like that. A lot of the Antifa, or I call it Blantifa, Black Lives Matter Antifa,
right, right.
Things, there were covert operations where you could see the blocking mechanisms when they would shoot a Trump supporter or a MAGA supporter. They would then pick up the brass. That's a cleanup operation. That's a signature of covert operations. Lots of things like that happen. So that's what I've been trying to tell people, and that's what I talked about today, is how when God told Clay to hold these events, he didn't know how it would turn out, because they're enormous undertakings. Mm-hmm. And when General Flynn started saying, I'm going to clean up the intelligence community, which is really the deep state, and I'm not going to disbelieve Pizzagate, which is child running and predatory child practices of the deep state, of the dark economy, as I called it. He didn't know how it turned out. But because I had already been through it over a decade ago, I can say, hey, this is a protocol, this is a template that they pull out. And so here's what you do, and just hold fast, and it won't be fun, but you will survive it.
Right. Jeffrey, I have a question. We hear the slogan, or we see T-shirts out and about that says, you know, the media is the biggest enemy of the people. Is it my impression, or does it seem that most Americans think that whatever they're told by the DEA, the FBI, the CIA, it seems like whatever you hear on the news or in the media, people just follow them as elevating them to like a godlike status, and that they are just to be revered and followed and listened to. And the more we get into this movement that we're in now, it seems like these organizations really they're not all they're cracked up to be from what we're seeing.
That's an understatement.
how do we educate American people that these three-letter agencies are really not for them, but they're on the other side of the fence, and what is there we can do about that?
So I am friends with the hero of the FBI Miami gunfight. I'm a longtime federal firearms instructor, and if you're a gun guy, everybody knows about the FBI Miami gunfight. It kind of defined gunfighting and ballistics. The 10 millimeter and all that stuff. But Ed Morales is a personal friend of mine, and he says if the FBI came to my door, I wouldn't talk to him today. And I graduated from the FBI Academy. But what we have to understand now, all of these institutions have been infiltrated through espionage, through, for example, the Chinese 1,000 Talents Overt Spying Program, where Fauci had Chinese military bioweapon experts at Fort Detrick. All of this has happened, and these agencies are no longer working for the American government. For example, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, and again, went to the FBI Academy, worked with FBI agents. Know the most heroic of them from the old school, they are no longer a law enforcement organization. They were a bank robbing organization, then they were a white-collar organization, then they were a counter-drug organization, then they were counter-terrorism, now they're counter-intelligence. Well, they're really an intelligence organization, and the FBI doesn't solve crimes. The FBI manages crimes, and they're really an intelligence organization. Their cover is that they are a law enforcement organization. And what they really execute, and what I've been talking about and broke on my show, and now there's plenty of evidence, is they are running information influence operations. And I served in Force Psychological Operations Group as a second lieutenant in Special Operations Command and attached to the Rangers and Special Forces. So that's really what they have become. So they are shaping the narrative, shaping the Fourth World War, fifth generation information influence operation battle to their cause, which is that global warming and white supremacy are the big problems. Mm-hmm. When if you look in the streets, it is Black Lives Matter and Antifa killing people and drug dealers coming across. And we left American children and families in Afghanistan and imported Afghan ISIS and Al-Qaeda terrorists. And now they're sending them to Ukraine.
Well, when you first started talking, you said you were in the service, or you were serving when the CIA was, they were running drug operations, correct?
Yes.
So it's funny you say that. We're friends with some neighbors of ours that are Hispanic, and we will go out with them once or twice a year, and they'll bring other Hispanic friends, and my wife and I will be the only two non-Hispanics. And there's a couple there that actually grew up in Mexico, and they live in Kansas City now, and they've been here for several years. But I got to talking to him about the cartel. You know, how the whole thing works, and, you know, he grew up in and around it. And he looked at me, and I had kind of had to translate what he said, but he said basically the U.S. DEA is the world's largest drug cartel.
Yes, and I learned that the hard way, because when I exposed that the DEA had a deal with the Sinaloa cartel, and you can look this up in the Niebla Zambada federal trial, it's public record, where DEA agents raised their hands and said, yes, we had a deal with the Sinaloa cartel to run drugs north in exchange for the ATF guns going south. And this is how I became a whistleblower, and how the DEA and the DOJ and Eric Holder came after me. That's exactly true. But it's even worse than that, because I was extraditing the first Mexican cartel leader, Miguel Jara Quintero, porque yo hablo español bastante bien. ¿Puede entenderme ahora? No, okay. Pero mi especialidad es son manos arriba, no se mueve si suelta el arma. But my specialties are hands up, drop the gun, and don't move, is what I said. But, yeah, I've worked all through Mexico, Central America, South America. And later I learned that when they were torturing and murdering our agent, Kiki Camarena, there was actually a CIA agent in the room. And that devastated me when I found that out. And so I have learned the hard way, as has General Flynn, as has President Trump, that our institutions have been infiltrated, and now we are in a fourth generation legal, moral, ethical, and nonviolent resistance movement against our own country, against our own government, in our own country.
So didn't they try to prosecute you?
They did try to prosecute me, yes. But I was never even charged.
Okay.
I think I had five lawyers. I spent $75,000, and they never even charged me. But they lied. They coached witnesses. They did all this stuff. I was Kid Dinesh D'Souza, because when he came from Mumbai, he came to Patagonia, which is right next to Sonora, a little town out in the country in Arizona. I'm like, hey, Dinesh, we have so much in common. From Patagonia, from Sonora. Government came after us. You got convicted. I didn't. And he always kind of looks at me.
Right.
Funny. But, it is tragic what we have become because of the seduction of evil, because we have lost our way.
You know, and I've got you here, and I want to ask this DOJ, or not DOJ, but FBI question. I've been told numerous times the FBI was never given a charter and was never basically, I guess, codified in Congress. What do you know about that, or do you know?
No, I don't know about that. I've worked, you know, I've been through the academy. I was a student there. I was a firearms instructor there. I've been there many times, but I don't know about that. I will tell you that the oldest federal law enforcement agency is the U.S. Marshals.
Right.
And they are now at 60% strength, and they are fading fast. But the FBI is turning because recently I was asked to do a whistleblower speech for an FAA group. And I spoke on Billy Mitchell, how Billy Mitchell was a whistleblower and, you know, predicted Pearl Harbor, and then he was court-martialed for it. And after that speech, Todd Callender of Disabled Rights Advocates asked me to do that. And he emailed me after and said, hey, Jeff, you know, that was a great speech, and now we have 300 FBI whistleblowers. So the tide is turning.
Oh, yeah.
We are winning this, and we will win, but it could take... Fourth generation warfare takes decades or even centuries. Ugh. Fourth generation revolutionary Christian warfare against the Roman Empire, who Christians could not outfight, but they could outlove, took 3 centuries.
Wow.
So how does it make you feel growing up in that, you know, government three-letter generation? I mean, knowing what it was then back in the 80s and 90s versus what it is now. I mean, how do you process that?
So I'm old enough now, I'm 65, and I'm old enough now to see that God has a plan for me. I'm a product of rape. My birth mom's actually from Oklahoma, and you know, we're right next to Oklahoma right now. And I was adopted by a great family. I'm like, wow, I could have been an abortion, and look at that. And then I was doing cross-border operations in Mexico, and I'm watching, what's that movie, Soldado... Sicario, and I'm like, wow, I did that. Yeah, that was really dangerous. Holy smoke. And then I'm jumping into Honduras. I'm like, wow, that was really dangerous too. And I'm old enough now to see that God had a plan for me, that God protected me because I followed him all along. And even though things look dark, we will win. You know, it's like when the double of Pito Joe says, you can't win a war without having F-35s and tanks and nuclear bombs. Well, just ask the Afghanis. Just ask the Vietnamese. Fourth generation wars are all we had lost until we lost a fifth generation war in 2020. But we're in a fourth generation nonviolent ethical moral war in our own country right now, and we will win this.
Well, Jeffrey, thank you for joining us today. You're one of the people we've been wanting to get on for a few months, and we saw you walk in the media room earlier, and we're like, Randy, go get that guy. We have to get him scheduled. So,
and I got one thing. I always have one question before we kick you out. Is I've been told that the J6 prisoners, I don't know why they're sitting there. Is there? I've heard that the federal marshals can march in there and take them out because they've never been charged, have they?
So I have friends who are in there. Jeremy Brown, the retired Special Forces Green Beret, has been on my show. In fact, I'm going to have him on next week. Some of them have been charged. Some of them have pled,
okay,
which they should not have done.
Right.
But Jeremy, they said, hey, we'll drop these other 7 charges if you just plead to this. And he said, no, I am not going to do that. They've extended out their detention. Should never have been for that long at all. You know, should have been for Black Lives Matter and Antifa, but Antifa.com, I haven't checked today, but Antifa.com probably still goes to WhiteHouse.gov, which shows you the connection.
Unbelievable.
And that's why I'm not on Fox or Laura Ingraham or Drudge anymore, because that's why I'd say that.
Right.
And that's a clear evidence that, hey, this is our covert militia. And so they are trying to kill them off by not giving their medicines, by treating them terribly. But it's very difficult to do. Now they've got them. Now they don't know what to do with them. They're not going to go away. They are like the saints. They are like the apostles.
Well, why are they not getting their day in court?
Because they don't want to have them their day in court.
Well,
they're an inflection point. So some of them have pleaded. I think maybe a third or half of them have pleaded. But there are some that are not going... that are just going to get stronger. And that's the mistake people make when they think that when things get hard, people fold. And some people do, but special operations personnel get stronger. And so it's just like we saw the Atlantic Monthly thing come out and say, hey, it's time for a COVID amnesty. No, you killed...
You're not getting your COVID amnesty.
Yeah, you killed babies, you killed elderly.
Yep.
No, there is no... And so that's what happens. The bombings of World War II are like the shots. It made things harder, which made people more resilient.
We've had a former guest on, Jeffrey, that his son and he both were at J6, and he's running for Congress in Arizona, and he was telling us all about how the whole J6 thing went down. His son's been held in prison. He said there were days, he was in, I think, for 90 days, and I think he spent $75,000 just for legal fees to get him out, but he said there were days that they were given nothing but one hard-boiled egg.
Yep.
And he said, we asked him, we said, who is behind the guards and everything? And I'm going to ask you this, if you know. He said the guards are contracted Nigerians. They aren't true American prison guards.
So, that's very likely. And I didn't really answer your question, so let me come back to it. So the U.S. Marshals move prisoners from and to court. Okay. For example, when I'd arrest somebody in Nogales, Arizona, I'd take them to Tucson for their initial appearance. I had to put them in prison and then take them to their initial. And then once their initial was over, I handed them off to the U.S. Marshals. U.S. Marshals also go after fugitives, but typically they would need some kind of authorization.
Okay.
And the problem is that they're in the deep state headquarters in D.C. But I have no doubt that there's... Nigerian illegals running that prison full of marijuana and everything else.
And so that he said that's a part of the reason. They're not Americans, so they have no patriotism, and that's why they treat these guys so bad and abuse them.
Well, and D.C. is so everybody in D.C. works for the deep state, so
right.
They are aligned with the deep state.
The cesspool. Yeah.
So, Jeffrey, what's the best way for our audience and our viewers to watch you, keep up with you, follow you, support you, whatever?
So I'm at jeffreyprather.com, JeffreyPrather.com. I have two podcasts live, Tuesdays and Thursdays. I have two shows on American Media Periscope, Mondays and Wednesdays, and I have a live Brighttown TV show Friday mornings. And then my chaplaincy on Sunday is ChristChaplaincy.com.
Nice. So how is your show, from what I've seen, I don't know how you stay up on YouTube. You're still on YouTube?
No. Well, my main channel where I had like 75,000 is gone.
Okay.
I just have another channel. But I usually try talking code. I'll say Charlie 19 or Yankee Tango because I was using that to communicate
right.
with people because it's very, very important. But, yeah, I have been... deplatformed from many YouTube channels. Facebook's about to get rid of me. But I'm trying to turn the Claymore around. I'm trying to use their stuff against us.
Well,
against them.
Well, Jeffrey, thank you for joining
us
today on Patriots with Grit, where we bring you truth bombs and guidance from conservative leaders and entrepreneurs. Thank you guys for watching. Thank you for being our guest. We appreciate your patriotism and all you've done for America.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Take care. See you later.
See
you.